Norway fights on. This is Gladys Pitch, bringing you another in the series Norway Fights On. And my guest today is Mr. Hartvig Giran, assistant editor of the Norwegian State Broadcasting in London, England, who is in this country on a short visit. He will tell us about the important contact which, through the Norwegian broadcasts in London, has been established between the people in conquered Norway and their countrymen who are still fighting on the outside. It is a pleasure to introduce to you now Mr. Hartvig Giran.
The first thing to be lost in a war is truth. This sentence was created by the experiences of the last war, but it has a much more profound meaning in this one, where our enemies from the outset have used lies as a main weapon in their warfare. As a broadcaster in London, it has been my duty to inform my countrymen in Norway of the truth. It has been a tough job, because up to now, the truth has been anything but pleasant. From personal meetings with persons who escaped from Norway, I know that the contact between us is of a very close and intimate nature. They rely upon us. And my trip to the United States was made in order to tell my compatriots from first-hand experience what is really going on over here. There is no doubt that America has become a deciding factor in this war, and I'm glad to state that what I've seen here so far will be very encouraging to my listeners in Norway. As a member of an old seafaring nation, which I dare say today plays an important part in the vital battle of the oceans, I especially looked forward to seeing some of your shipbuilding yards. I came to one plant on the East Coast, and what I witnessed there impressed me indeed. In the course of little more than 1 year, this yard has grown from practically nothing to be the largest shipbuilding plant on the eastern coast of America. Last month, it broke the All-American record by launching 12 large merchant ships, which placed stem by stern would cover a whole mile, another mile added to our vital bridge of ships. Of course, every American knows that the peoples of Europe felt greatly encouraged when America entered the war. To them, it has become more and more evident that every nation fighting the Axis is fighting not only for herself, but for every other country where the ideals of freedom, tolerance, and human decency mean anything to the nation as a whole. We were all late in realizing it, and we know the consequences. Yet the fact that we have been able to carry on in spite of an almost unbroken series of defeats and disasters proves that we have a moral strength which is bound to bring its rewards, provided we are willing to make the sacrifices necessary. No sacrifice we can make will be greater than those made by the defenseless peoples of Europe. In the reports from Norway, which we receive regularly through our broadcasting work in London, we have, for instance, never once heard of anyone complaining about the scarcity of food, although it is an established fact that the public health has already been gravely affected by it. Children, in particular, will have to bear the marks of it for the rest of their lives. Thousands have been and are still being imprisoned. Additional thousands are being forced to build fortifications, not for themselves, but for the enemy, not to mention the countless executions. Still, they stand firm. I suppose you have all heard about the resistance being offered in Nazi-occupied Norway. There is much more which could be told, were it not for the consideration which has to be taken in order not to expose our people to further dangers. One must always bear in mind that among our keenest listeners are our enemies. It may surprise some of you to learn that our broadcasts from London do not deal exclusively with news from the outside world. Indeed, a main part of our work consists of telling our listeners what is going on within their own borders. in order to suppress all efforts towards a united opposition. The Germans have done their utmost to keep the people in ignorance of what is happening, not only outside Norway, but also outside their own small communities. This wouldn't seem difficult in view of the fact that they control all communication and transportation in the country. The most important contribution made by London was, therefore, that it established a contact between all soldiers on the home front, as we call it, and between the home front and the front abroad. When the time for the London broadcast was near, the waiters in the restaurants had a busy time making out the checks for all the guests who wanted to quit. For a short time, the streets were buzzing with people hurrying home, until they were quite empty, and you could suddenly hear a voice through the open windows, "This is London calling." I remember one evening when I was still in Norway and it was still allowed to have radio sets. I was on my way to an appointment just at the time when the news from London was being read. Through the walls and the open windows of every house on my way, I was able to hear every word of the news bulletin. It was even considered indecent to call on people or even to telephone them while the London news was on the air. The statistics of a telephone company in one Norwegian town showed that shortly before the news, the curve indicating telephone conversations suddenly dropped down to zero, to rise suddenly again as soon as the news was finished. Even small children were acutely aware what London meant to everybody. One evening, after I had resigned from my job at the broadcasting in Oslo and was staying in my hometown, the daughter of my brother, 6 or 7 years old, sat down beside me and said, "Say, uncle, weren't you a broadcaster in Oslo?" "Yes, I was," I replied. "And those who speak from London now, they were also broadcasters in Oslo, weren't they?" "Yes, they were," I said. Then she looked at me in great surprise and said, "But uncle, why aren't you in London then?" Later on, when I was in London, I was told by friends who came abroad that she never got tired of telling people when I came on the air that this was her uncle speaking. Today, however, she is probably not able to listen to me, because now it is a job for very grown-up people to listen into London. In connection with the execution of the first victims of Nazi terror in Norway in September last year, the Germans ordered every radio set which did not belong to Nazis to be given up to the German military authorities. Every person, the decree said, who after a certain date was found in possession of a radio set was liable to sentences of hard labor or even death. The threat of death clearly indicates the tremendous importance which the German authorities attached to our broadcasts. But our countrymen were not terrified. You can certainly no more walk through a Norwegian street and hear the voice of London calling through the open windows. But if you were able to find a person who would rely upon you, you might be led to the strangest hidden places where patriots are tuning into our station at the risk of their lives. The willingness of people in the occupied countries to sacrifice anything for the common cause will prove to be of inestimable value when the Allied invasion is going to take place. We ought to be grateful for it, but they are much more grateful than we are. At a meeting in London, I was together with a friend of mine who also speaks regularly on the London radio. After the meeting, some people who had been brought to England after a raid on the Norwegian coast came over to us. There was no mistaking their sincerity when they expressed their gratitude for all we had done for them, as they said. When two young men from my hometown, who had been sentenced to death, were visited by some friends who wanted to see them for the last time, one of them said, I shall never forget his words, "Tell all our friends not to worry about us. We have been prepared for this for a long time, and we are not afraid. We on the home front are today the front-line soldiers in this war, and we shall have to keep that position until our friends are prepared to relieve us. In every fight, the soldiers of the first line must be prepared to die. So don't worry about us." But we must worry about them. We cannot expect the Nazis to be crushed by an uprising of the subjugated people. Even the heart of a lion is of no avail against machine guns. No courage can prevail against tanks and planes. They can certainly do a lot, but only when we are prepared to step in. Therefore, we should remember that every tank, plane, or ship in excess of plans may mean one day nearer to victory. Every day gained for the peace may mean thousands of lives saved for the future. The happiness of millions depends upon us.
Thank you so much, Mr. Kiran. You have heard another in the series, Norway Fights On. Today, my guest was Mr. Hartvig Kiran, assistant editor of the Norwegian State Broadcasting in London, England. And so, until next week, when we have another interesting program for you, this is Gladys Petch saying adieu.